Hello and welcome to today's Energy and Utilities podcast. I'm your host, Sepp van Dort. And in today's podcast, I am talking to Kevin Sanders. So I am very interested in what's happening with Eco, particularly Eco 3. And I always have a interest in what's happening in the front line. Well, I happened to be on LinkedIn and Kevin posted a post which said, "How long can we keep sailing in Eco? We are hardcore canvassers, but things just keep getting nearly impossible each day." And underneath it is a photograph of a sinking ship. So this seemed to be ideal for me to find out a little bit more, particularly what's happening at the front line, which is the area that I always find most interesting. So I gave Kevin a ring to see what's happening. Yeah, let me know what you think, and I hope you enjoy this.
I'm Kevin Sanders. I'm sort of general dog's body of zero carbon, and we are a lead generation company.
Yes.
We generate work ready orders with Eco.
Okay, so we recently got in touch via LinkedIn because I noticed a post that you posted, which said, "How long can we keep sailing in Eco?" And you've got a sinking ship on there. And it says, "We are hardcore canvassers, but things just keep getting nearly impossible each day." Now, as I mentioned, I've worked in Eco quite some time, and I've got a general interest into Eco, and particularly what's happening at the front line and what the state of the market is. I think sometimes, you know, from a policy level, people look at things and make decisions, but actually it's the front end where you can really see how things are going. So as I said, I'm out of the game, so I don't really know what's happening. So can you enlighten me on what's happening, you know, at the, you know, door-to-door level, if you like, under Eco 3?
I tend to classify myself as a bit of a jovial chap in life. I don't take life too seriously, which I should do. But I've probably put up another, I've actually just put the LinkedIn post up this morning. And it's really, if you look at the front line of things, I mean, none of us have insulated a house that we're supposed to be insulated for the past 5.5 years. I mean, I'm not an installer. Obviously, I work with installers. I understand all the procedures and all the paperwork and everything else that's in with it, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it's not my headache because we're just a lead gen. I mean, obviously, we're classified as pond life, which is just another satirical saying I have. But, I mean, let's be brutally honest. For the last year up till, say, let's just say September time, all I did was off-gas areas, detached properties, mainly with a few other houses in there, targeting, you know, oil boilers, LPG boilers, cavity, loft, blah, 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 in off-gas areas. How many people are in fuel poverty who live in the, you know, in the borders of Herefordshire and Mid Wales? You know, if anybody'd like to go on Zoopla and Google how much a three-bedroom detached house is out there, you're probably close to £400,000. And that's all we insulated.
Yeah, I do think there's a wider strategy on off-gas areas. And I know they were previously ignored. And I know some people, because they've got oil, are, you know, on very sort of high costs. But yeah, I mean, there is a sort of slight mismatch there. Now, my interest here is, you know, particularly what I noticed, we had, as I mentioned previously before we sort of started recording, we had, I mentioned that when I was in Eco, which was quite a few years ago, I think it was Eco 2, if I'm wrong, and then we had Eco 2T. And the idea would be you have Eco 2T, which is, the T stands for transition. So you have Eco 2, you then transition into Eco 2, T, which is Eco 2 transition, and the idea of Eco 2T was that it seamlessly transitions into Eco 3. Now, I think that ended in October, and I don't think Eco 3 has properly started. So, is there still a market in Eco for you know, for anyone, and you know, particularly, you know, you're the first line of
that market? No, we actually find more unicorns than the criteria every day, because it's very impossible. I mean, obviously at the moment, we're like chameleons, we adapt. I mean, currently we're supposed to be, you know, the new sort of fuel poverty guidelines are dual measures, which would be a cavity wall and boiler.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you could probably find more hen's teeth.
Actually,
on Hecro. I mean, I'm going to say that the new Hecro criteria, with pit being added, DLA being added, carer's allowance being added, has made things slightly easier. If you can find these jobs that have, I've got no sort of gripe about what the new actual Hecro qualification is. But obviously we're going into the new flex and everything. I mean, half the councils only just about have started doing flex. I could certainly point out only just started, in January, literally the end of January. I know for a fact that I live in Worcestershire. Worcestershire has only literally started doing flex. So we're what? Nearly the best part of 4 months into the scheme, and the local council's only just about getting started.
Yeah, I probably don't think it's the council really. I think it's very much at a policy level, because all the guidance isn't out yet. I think measures were sort of at risk. Again, I'm out of this game, so I might have that not entirely right, but I know there hasn't been that easy transition, and I don't think we've sort of really transitioned into Eco3. Now, I know there are probably other focuses politically, but the thing is, I've been in this game for a few times, and all of these sort of political decisions have such a big impact. And I was there when they changed the eco legislation in 2013, when it was called the green crap, and all of a sudden that all trickles down to the front line. And I'm just worried now that when I speak to people, everyone's saying, well, what's going on? Everyone's saying, well, I don't know. And I'm just wondering, can people make a living out of this? And also, do you think things will pick up
on the front line? Do we really know anybody's doing this anymore? I mean, there's a few of us who are rather jovial and satiric on LinkedIn, because one thing we do know is most of us door canvassers tend to know each other. I don't really know anybody that's doing this anymore. Everybody I know's just wandered off and doing something else. You just can't. If you've got commitments, mortgages and families and children and that, how can you work with the tools we're given? You just can't do it.
Yes.
I'm in the situation that, I'm a bit of an old fart now. We call ourselves dads, aren't we? My kids are grown up and, I haven't got too much of a mortgage, call it. But in the real world, most sort of active door canvassers, I would say, would be 20s to 30s. And, these guys are going to have mortgages, these guys are going to have kids, families. Mm-hmm. There's no way they can risk being in this industry. No chance.
It's sad, isn't it? Because, it's so frustrating, because when I was, dealing with legislators, we were all pushing for longer, legislation, i.e., it used to be eco was sort of 2 years, and in the end we got a commitment for, I think it was 8 years. And so you'd think that actually you've got a sort of stream of funding coming down for 8 years. But, the reality is that obviously it's again still stop and start. Now, my other question is,
I mean, you need to look at the past. I mean, I've been around for, say, if we said I've been in this for about 7 years, we're about close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a company, I've been taken over £100,000 by companies going under, by funders going under. So the negative effect of that through the industry is phenomenal. I mean, I know some really, really good people who will never come back into this industry, just because of the stigma it's got.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You lose quite a bit. You lose talent, basically.
I would say eco's probably got the same reputation as a double glazing industry from the 1990s.
Yes, but yeah, probably not far off the mark there. Now, my other question is, for those people that are still on the sidelines thinking maybe coming back in, or people in here at the moment trying to sort of, weather the storm, do you think things will pick up as, Eco3 kicks into gear properly? Do you think it'll be better, or?
We've not had a vast experience so far with councils, because we're physically looking, basically, let's just say Hereford Flex.
Yeah.
We can go online, type in Hereford Flex, download the criteria for it. We read it and go, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even get a running start because at the end of the day, the public are perhaps a little bit naive to, you know, some of these grants and everything. And when, I mean, I only know, I think it's only Shropshire. We haven't really put any time or effort into the flex schemes because we're just not going there. But when you start vetting, you know, potential people for the flex scheme and start asking for proof of income and bank statements, it's just going to die. It's just going to be, well, it's a dodo. It's not just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's so hard when you have to do all of that. All of a sudden, it becomes, you know, it's another threshold to overcome, right? And I know for myself, like I just had to do this stuff before and had to sort of show income, etc. And it's just, you know, like I don't know, you know, if you're a busy working individual, that's such a, you know, that's such an investment as well. So that again doesn't sort of help, you know, the, you know, from your point of view, you know, converting people from interested to, you know, from leads to, you know, definite targets, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, nobody, if you looked at a funder and across, say, every different utility company, I mean, there's no physical structure for a survey, because obviously we do the full deep scores ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, we've always, between us, sort of managed to get the EPCs done, but obviously now we're doing deem scores.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no physical structure. I mean, a lot of the industry are doing paperwork, a lot of the other industry are doing EcoServe. And then, say, between British Gas and whoever, there's always such a structural difference.
Yeah, so I remember this back in the day, you know, and by the different sort of suppliers. So, I've worked for the Big Six on Eco, but I've also worked for a construction company on Eco, and it was, you know, that was eye-opening to go and at the time when I sort of dealt with Ofgem and you know when I worked with policy, we were looking at standardizing, because I remember it was complete, you know, one supplier wanted it this way, another supplier wanted it that way, and all I was interested in was getting some provisional quotes, you know, and you know it's just like, oh god, you know, they're all very different. Now I was under the impression, and again this is why it's good speaking to people on the front line, I was under the impression that all of that was relatively standardized, but apart from one or two, that's,
I mean,
sort of more
oversupplied. Let's just take a cavity wall survey. If I was to give it to one installer who was perhaps using Instagroup,
yeah,
Instagroup will say we want time dated photographs.
Yeah.
Who presents? I mean, okay, we can get an app and we do time dated photographs, but if you're taking the photographs on an iPhone or any decent smartphone or Android, a GPS located anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, absolutely. And, you know, this, I mean, this has always been my problem that, you know, I mean, the, you know, government are looking at, you know, or the regulator is looking at sort of innovation, etc. But, you know, it's like, actually, we're so much further ahead now, you know, like, so, you know, like, you should just be able to have photographic evidence, right?
Yeah, it's just like, there's such a difference. I mean, one funder will ask for, you know, it's a three-bedroom detached house. They'll ask for each bedroom to be photographed, showing it's a bedroom with a room tag. Not an issue. You know, we drive around. We like we said, we adapt. So we have like a chart where we can do this, and so we can comply to this. But then somebody else will say, we don't need that. There's just no standardization for anybody.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's a job for the regulator, because, like, you do get to the point where different suppliers require different things, and some, it's their sort of risk procedure that they want to, you know, and I understand this because I've been there myself, you know, so some want to have as much. So essentially, when I was dealing with it, things might have changed, but the regulator might ask questions at a certain stage in time, you know, like a year later, you know, what about this measure? And then, you know, all of a sudden you're in a dispute with, you know, one of your supplier who's got a problem with their suppliers because, you know, that middleman used, you know, that middleman to deliver the carbon. And you get so many questions that you might lose that measure. So some of them insist on, you know, are much more risk averse and ask for a lot more compliance paperwork than others. But the problem is that, you know, you sort of lack that consistency, which a scheme like this probably does require.
Yeah, I mean, if there was like, okay, this is a cavity wall survey, you require this, this, yeah. this, this, and this. If that was a standard set of compliance from Ofgem, everybody would do it. But when we're doing a survey, well, do we need this this time? Do we need that this time?
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember it, yeah. God, I was hoping that was, you know, this is why I've been away from the front line too much. You know, no, I was hoping
exactly the same. I mean, you know, obviously, if we work in the West Midlands, it's not difficult to work on these flex schemes. I mean, Walsall's running at the moment, running at the moment, Sandwell's running at the moment. If you look at every three of those flexes, every one of them is different.
Yeah.
Completely. Every form that you have to sign is completely different for the flex scheme, for the Data Protection Act. So, you know, if I'm working in the West Midlands and, you know, we're very proactive on how we do things, you know, one day I could be in Dudley with one set of forms and then the other day I'm in Warsaw with another set of forms. It's, it makes you smile. I'll leave it at that with that one. you know, we do a lot of printing, I'll put it that way.
I've got one sort of final question for you. What would your advice be for government or those that set policy, you know, the regulator?
Well, why aren't we insulating the properties that need insulating? I've put quite a bold LinkedIn profile out this morning, you know, a post out this morning. I mean, we're not doing anything for fuel poverty. When was the last person or any installer that insulated a loft in a 2 to 3 bedroom mid terraced house on gas? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not doing anything that to help small properties. Because the carbon targets have still got to be achieved, so everybody's targeting the larger properties. We're just not targeting the people.
Yeah, so again, this was the irony when I was working in it. It's like, you know, when I was working, so it's Dean scores now, but when I was working in it, it was obviously carbon scores, you know, before EPC, after EPC, and trying to save as much carbon as you can. But, you know, the irony is, you know, people in fuel poverty live in smaller properties and actually your largest carbon savings are actually found. I mean, so from a policy point of view, they say, well, actually, you know, like the highest carbon savings aren't the worst performing properties. The reality is that, you know, the highest carbon savings are in the largest properties, right?
Well, it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, I've put 3 boilers into people. We've got a swimming pool in the house. The mum's, you know, came to the country 20 years ago. She's on state budget credit. You know, I could probably go back to the city I live in. I know exactly where I could go this evening if I wanted to do standalone boilers, which we can't do anymore as a measure anyway. I could find some 2-bedroom masonettes. Most of the properties these people have bought them from the council. If I was to go and knock them this evening, couldn't do the cavity walls, they've all been done. Can't do lofts as a dual measure. I couldn't put a boiler in there, but I could probably go and get myself 5 or 6 people who would qualify. Guarantee the boilers are 15 or 20 years old, but the customer probably have to find £1,000 contribution. They've got no chance. But then I could go down to the down the road and go and target some nice Georgian 4 to 5 story, you know, 4 to 5 bedroom solid wall properties. Predominantly, most of it would be.